The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Music? Do we have music?
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right.
You're bloody well. Poke the hornet's nest.
Good morning, Nick.
It is a good morning. Look at this hornet I've got right here.
I tell you what. I mean, you're getting all the gifts and toys. I don't get anything anymore, but you get it all.
You got a little gnome.
I do have a gnome, and he's wearing the USA, so I like that.
I think he's trying to tell us we don't gnome anything.
Hey, I'm going to start this off real quick because I was asked by Frank. Tuesday at 11 o'clock, a local hero is being buried at the Igo Cemetery at Frederick Randolph Solanti. Frank took about 2 minutes trying to tell me all the great things he did for the local community and kids. So,
and he ran out of time.
So if you should be out and about and would like to give honor to a local hero, Frederick Randolph Solanti, thank you for your service. And hopefully the afterlife is a little bit safer and peaceful compared to this one. But Nick, we're not about peaceful and all that stuff. We're here to poke people. So what are we poking today?
Well,
I will tell you. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to be rude. We went to Kevin Cry's victory dinner or victory thing. And after the victory thing, I went up and shook Kevin's hand to congratulate him. And I scolded him a bit. And I said, Kevin, you screwed up. And he looked at me and said, why did I screw up? I said, now Nick and I have nothing to talk about. So we've got to come up with some new stuff now. There's no local election to beat on.
So that's our show for today. And we're tuning out. Thanks for listening.
It's been great. Hope you enjoyed it. So anyways, Nick, you were starting to say something as I rudely interrupted you.
Oh, we've got all kinds of things to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about Iran attacking Israel.
This is, it's funny. You sent me something earlier this week about the false flag status in terms of there's going to be something that's going to create a situation where America is going to have to attack Iran to create a war. And from the minute my wife could testify, she was here, hand held high, there's two things I've said that have been rather prophetic. The first one came true. The second one is coming true. First one was the night that Mr. Obama got elected to this president of this country. I sat there and I was gutted, and you would have thought that my puppy died. And she looked at me and asked what it was so wrong. And I said, we just killed America. And she's, one guy can't. I said, we just killed America. I listened to what he said, what he did, who he hung with. I've been proven right. He's still killing America. As soon as October 7th happened and Israel started going back in, I told my wife, week and a half after they went back in and started doing stuff, I said, we're going to find ourselves in the middle of that mess. We are going to end up there because Biden needs a war in which he can claim he's a war president, because war presidents tend to get reelected because people want stability during a time of crisis. So I saw this coming back on October 8th, to be honest with you.
But we're the peacemaker there. We're even building a dock in Gaza so we can deliver aid.
Well, it's a nice target for the Houthis, and I'm sure Iran will soon find it.
Do you think they didn't think about that when they built that?
That's my point.
They probably put in Red Cross crosses on there knowing that they won't bomb that.
Yeah. They probably have, like, if you look on the ground from a satellite, they probably have arrows that point the missiles right to it. I'm imagining my synopsis is Netanyahu. He's got his faults, but he really has no choice but to do something big in return. I mean, they sent 200 drones and missiles at Israel.
185 drones, 110 surface-to-surface missiles, and 36 cruise missiles.
Oh, that's 300 then. So,
but, Iran, The military action against Israel has concluded. That was the headline I read this morning. So what are they? Well, we lobbed these at you, but we don't want to fight anymore.
Well, and you know what's funny is I don't it's going to sound very controversial, but I don't blame Iran. And here's why. You know, Israel obviously got attacked. Israel's defending itself. Israel is fighting the fight, right or wrongly. But Israel bombed the Syrian embassy or the Iranian embassy in Syria. So, I mean, if our embassy had been bombed by Israel, Iran or whatever, we probably would have responded in kind. So I'm not necessarily sure that Iran's reaction is not warranted, considering that their embassy was bombed, and embassies are considered, you know, they're considered part of your country in a foreign country. And so,
why did they bomb it?
Well, they killed some top level Hamas, and I think even an Iranian general or something like that. But so, I mean, I'm not saying that their personnel count wasn't wrong. I mean, it wasn't, you know, they got some bad guys, but when you bomb an embassy, you are in effect bombing the country. Christina's got us going here.
We got something going on. So anyway,
yes. So anyways, that's my thing. I think that we're going to find ourselves in a shooting situation, a la to defend Israel, and just get ready. It's coming, and oil's going to go up crazy now.
Fill your car up.
You fill your car up a couple times.
You know, the thing is, this all started, in my opinion, this started back with Bill Clinton when he let Hughes Tools in Texas export the knowledge for missiles, for intercontinental missiles, the guidance system.
Oh, yeah.
It was hesitated about something, it was disguised as something else, but they knew that that had the technology for Iran to put the intelligence to guide missiles intercontinental.
Well, you know, Mr. Clinton, besides being a complete lying piece of crap, he also made sure that China got our guidance system, which is actually now part of Iran. Is remember when they there was a missile that was going to be shot off by somewhere in the I think it was an Asian area. I don't want to say it was French New Guinea, maybe. And China confiscated the guidance systems, the GPS and all that stuff, and Bill Clinton didn't do anything about it. Didn't do a thing. Let them have it. Just let them have it. And that was our most advanced missile guidance systems. So it's no wonder that Russia, China, and Iran now have our technology that they can guide against us. Thank you, Mr. Bill Clinton. Very awesome of you. So, yes, I do remember that. But anyways, locally, you said that the Board of Supervisors, when I talked to you the other day, you said Board of Supervisors was kind of interesting on Tuesday. So we'll go there, and then we'll start throwing around some international stuff because there's a lot of stuff going on. So how did the Board of Supervisors go on Tuesday? You said it was very interesting.
It's always interesting. You know, the meetings have calmed down except for two individuals there. And it's just amazing. For two meetings, the one of them didn't show up, and it was just smooth sailing.
Crazy, isn't it?
But Kevin has instigated some new rules as far as commenting, public comment and commenting on different issues. And they seem to be working real well. I noticed before when, say, R7 came up, whatever R7 is, there might be five or six commenters. And they would comment, and other people would feed off that. And pretty quick, you've got a line of 20 or 25 people commenting.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin has said that if you want to comment on R7, you have to get your card in before we start talking about R7.
Oh.
So that eliminates those people that didn't like what old Pete said, so I'm going to get up there and refute him, and it just goes back and forth. So if you've got something to say about this subject, you're welcome to just get your card in early. If you don't get it early, you're not going to get to speak. And that's turned out to be a really good policy, in my opinion.
Well, and, you know, again, this goes back. I said this on Carl Bott's show a couple weeks ago, and I was on his Thursday morning show, and I want to be very clear. This liberal stupidity and the rhinos who decided to join them, the fact of the matter is the vote count was eerily identical to the actual vote from when he got elected. And so it tells you it really wasn't as bipartisan as they wanted you to believe. And then on top of that, they kept talking about we need to reintroduce civility, we need to reduce. And as soon as they lose, civility is returned to the Board of Supervisors. Isn't that amazing?
Except for two people.
Well, two people. There's always going to be agitators somewhere. But I just think that it just goes to show that this was never about bipartisanship. It was a liberal power grab. They saw that they could steal the presidency, so why not try to steal a Board of Supervisors seat, is my opinion.
Well, one of the more interesting things – well, and let's get back to the comments.
Please.
On public comment – Kevin has put all of the county business that needs to have supervisors, managers there before public comment. So they're not sitting there for hours waiting to come up and do their presentation to the board because they're getting paid.
Yep.
They could be utilized in their office doing their work instead of sitting there waiting to be called on.
Mm-hmm.
He's moved that until all the presentations are done. And then we have public comment until they have to take a break for closed session. And then after everything else is done, they can resume the public comment.
Well, and it makes sense. I would argue that maybe Kevin could do it the other way around. Open it up to public comment and not have county personnel show up to, let's say, I don't know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever, that they have to wait until then to show up and let the public, because when you go in, I mean, I work, and so taking an entire Tuesday off to go sit there and wait to get in and do a public comment is just not feasible. But at the same time, trying to time when public comment's going to happen is also near impossible. So I would argue maybe do public comment, limit it to X amount of time, and then have it that the employees have to show up from X to X, because then they're not sitting there wasting their time and they're not, you know, being held over if there's comment on their particular job. So, but if it's working, it's working. What the heck do I know?
I think it's working very well.
And I trust you.
And public comment, you started off, it's liable to go on for 4 hours.
That's true.
And some of those people, like I say, they just feed off of each other. Now, if you're going to do public comment, you have to get your speaker request form in before the meeting starts.
Yeah.
And that's another good thing.
Well, you know what's funny is when I was president of the Shasta Association of Realtors back in 2012, we had to travel, so we'd go to these statewide meetings. And
that's back when they had record sales, wasn't it? 2012 still stands out as the best real estate year.
No, 2012 was the year that, if you look back historically, that's when the bottom hit. So if you bought in 2012.
But that didn't have anything to do with you being president.
No, no, no. Believe me, I wasn't that powerful and influential. But no, so we would go to these meetings, and there would be 900 realtors, 1,000 realtors. And it was funny. The same thing would happen. Is one would feed, the other would feed, and then you would just keep getting regurgitation. And so in 2013, we had a different president, and basically instituted and said, look, if somebody said a comment and you want to basically say the same comment, sit down. We already heard it. We don't need to hear it twice. And so that actually sped up the meetings, because we would take bets at the beginning of the meeting as when would the meeting be over because of the public comment period. So, you know, the not repeating what was already said 17 times seemed to move it forward.
Well, you know, what's getting repeated and repeated and repeated again is going to a hand count and this and that and that and this, and we need paper ballots and we need poll papers and we need to count at the polling places. And no, absolutely, we need all of those things. But
yep.
It gets repeated, you know, at least a half a dozen times each public comment. But I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I went over to the Register of Voters where they were doing the hand count.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to Joanna about a different subject. Actually, it was something that you brought up here, and I misunderstood you, and she explained it to me. She's a really nice gal, Joanna is.
Okay.
She came down and helped me and was nice, and I wonder how much of what she is doing with the elections is because Kathy Darling Allen is the boss there. I mean, her job is pretty much to do what Kathy Darling Allen tells her to do.
Yeah.
Who is retiring soon.
Thank
and
God.
We're going to have a replacement.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if Joanna would keep doing these policies, or if she'd have her own direction and do something else. But I know she's – a lot of people don't think much of her. I can't say how – I can't express enough how helpful and nice she was with me.
That's great.
But what I noticed – they were hand counting. They had two desks about the size of this desk we got here, probably twice the size of a regular office desk.
Yeah.
And there were five women around each one, and they were counting ballots. And I looked at these women, and I thought, can't we do better than that? I mean, these women were old.
Yeah.
And I asked at the meeting, the next meeting, I brought this up, and I asked, I wanted to know if the hand count came out the same as the electronic vote. And it did, but they had to recount a few things because there was human mistakes. Well, if you got some older gals up there, 80, 85, wouldn't you think they might make a mistake or two?
On occasion.
And I thought we could do a better job selecting our hand counters. And I came up with the idea... Why not have high school kids do it? Seniors, honor students, the counselors, the principals, the teachers could select them. They could go in there for 1 hour and count. They wouldn't get bored. And we've got six high schools to draw from.
And get some, what is it they have to do now? The public service requirement or whatever. So that,
well,
yeah,
they
go.
Could get extra credit.
Extra credit, yeah.
And I don't think you'd have many mistakes, if any. And you'd only need two for each ballot and somebody overseeing them. They wouldn't be advanced enough politically, I would think, to want to cheat.
Oh, I think you're wrong there, but that's okay. I think you're wrong there, because I think that's...
You know, I was only wrong once, and it was 7 years ago, so
I
do. Cut me a little slack,
well,
Doug.
And I would love to believe in your opinion on that one, but they've been indoctrinated about how great all the trans, all the diversity...
We're not voting on that.
No, but I'm just saying, so they're totally... They're in that groove. Don't kid yourself when you think that they would be clear.
Well, I can't think
but
of...
But I still think it's a great idea.
Well, thank you. And they could get extra credit.
Yep.
They would get involved with the elections. Maybe some of the kids would decide they need to really start paying attention to politics.
Yep.
So I asked the board to consider that, should we ever have the opportunity to go to hand counts.
Well, I don't want to be completely rude and mean to you, Nick, because
you always are.
I know, but I'm going to give you a compliment, because you had a better idea early on in this whole fiasco that the liberals pulled on us, and that was the CCW holders. They have been vetted through the federal government, the state government, the local sheriff. You know, they are the most law-abiding citizens on planet Earth. That is a statistical fact. You said, why don't we see if we can get CCW holders? And I would have held my hand up, and I would have been in there to vote. I mean, there was a lady that was asking for people to put their hand up and see if they can. I gave my name and everything else. I never heard another word.
That was Bev Gray.
Bev Gray. So I said, I'm more than willing to be a count person for, you know, a couple hours and this and that. But I thought that was a great idea of yours, because CCW, I think, is majority conservative just because we believe in the guns and the Second Amendment. But I know a couple liberals who have their guns as well. And so if you're a CCW holder, you have to apply to have a right, which is already a load of crap, but we do it. And I thought that was a good idea of you, having CCW holders do the county.
Well, I think both of them are good ideas.
Yeah, now you're giving yourself double credit. That's not fair.
You could have CCW voters in there and maybe high school kids looking over their shoulder and helping them.
Yeah. But I think that's a good idea. So, wow, that's two good ideas in one show, Nick. You're done.
Is happy hour yet? And Shameless O'Leary's, is it happy hour yet?
No, so, you know, politics is hyper-local, like real estate is hyper-local, you know, and hopefully we have gotten the attention, the well-deserved attention from around the nation. We are in a liberal disaster, so every liberal, if you're listening, you guys caused this, your people, your votes, your policies, your beliefs caused what we are living in, the dystopian of California. But here we are in Northern California, and we're bucking the trend. And I hope that continues. Kevin made a very prophetic statement that I thought I'm really interested in hearing about. And we're, you know, we can't, because I don't know what it is, and I know you don't know what it is. But Kevin said by the end of this year, a lot of things are going to come out that will vindicate him, Chris, and Patrick. So I can't wait to see that information, because you can't... You're not going to clear this from the top. The Kathy Darlin Allens, the Mary Ricketts of them, they're who they are. We've got to start with getting corruption cleaned out at the bottom, because once you start cleaning out the bottom and you can rebuild it, I think that's how it's going to start. So us being a kind of the leader in California is a good start.
Well, you know, we've got some a couple of gals resigned from the elections committee. Susan Barrymore is the latest. Don Duckett was the first. Don figured that it wasn't going anywhere and a waste of time. Susan Barrymore, in her statement, she felt the same way, but I was told being Susan Barrymore got a violation for an alcohol-related offense that Mary Rickard had asked her to step down.
Oh.
I don't know how true that is, but it sounds logical to me. And then Mary Rickert wasn't at the supervisors meeting this last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And she had a leave of absence due to a personal issue with her family, and I think it said she had lower back problems or something. But what I noticed is her nameplate wasn't up there anymore.
Huh.
And I'm wondering if she is going to come back. Well, and if it is health-related... I hope you recover quick.
Yeah.
Mary, nobody would wish ill health on anybody. You know, I'm a proponent of her finishing out this term and not running for the second term, because the voters overwhelmingly desire two terms for our supervisors.
And, yeah.
And if she was to be elected again, that would be her third term. Although she can legally do it, it would show class by stepping aside and saying, this is the will of the voters. I've had my two terms.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this, and I think that it stands factual bearing, is I don't think Rickards will step down unless the health is, and I hope she's, you know, I hope she does get better. I don't wish ill will, but I don't think she will, because Tanessa Audette didn't do, when she had the chance to be a class act, Tanessa didn't do it either. So I don't think Rickards is going to do it. I think the allure of that power is too much. And so when, Mark Mazzano was supposed to be mayor and Tanessa, took it, the fact of the matter is that was a great opportunity for some class to show that she was above the fray and, you know, let's go and do the right thing. And I don't think Mary Rickards will do the right thing. I may be wrong, but I don't think she will.
Well, we'll see.
Because the voters did do two years or two terms. She's had her two terms. Okay. Technically, she's eligible for a third, but the voters already spoke. End your term here. Let's move on to get somebody else. Whoever it is, left, right, up and down,
and
let's get someone else.
And thank you for serving.
Yeah. I mean, it's – I've spoken at the Board of Supervisors. I spoke at the Planning Commission. I've watched the videos you've shared with me. I've watched the archives. It's a tough job, man. That's a gig and a half right there.
I don't believe the supervisors are getting paid enough. That's – boy, they've got to be versed in so many things. And one thing – you know, I went to Kevin Cry's Friday morning get-together here a week ago. I didn't go to this last
one. The victory party. It was victory party.
No, he meets every
Friday. Oh, he does
Friday.
The coffee thing. That's right.
Yes.
Sorry. Oh, sorry about
that's
that.
That's okay. You didn't kick me. If you kicked me, you could be sorry. Now he's trying to kick me. So anyway – the subject brought up about overloading Mary and Tim Garmon with assignments. Mary had something like 21 or 22, and Tim had, 18 or 19, and Kevin had 10 or 12, and Jonesy had 10 or 12, and Kellstrom had 10 or 12, and it just wasn't fair. Well, Kevin said, Mary, ask for all those assignments.
Yeah.
And then she turns it around like he just overloaded her.
Well, again, you know, that's where maybe transparency would be of absolute, is if they have notes saying Mary asked to be on this committee, Tim asked me on that, have it, versus her turning it around saying that she's being overloaded when, if Kevin is being honest, and I believe in this case he would be, she asked for all that stuff. So you can't sit there and ask for the overload of work and then complain that you got overloaded.
Well, you know, you mentioned transparency. I've never seen this much transparency on a board in my life. And you can find anything else you want to talk about down there at Kevin's Coffee at 8 o'clock at the Kaleidoscope on Friday mornings. He'll answer all your questions.
Oh, that's good. And then Kevin's got his show going, so he's out there every week or every other week off of us trying to answer questions to keep you up. So I do agree. I think that there is some real
transparency.
Openness. I hate that word transparency because the liberals use it as if it's a big deal, and the fact of the matter is transparency has become so opaque you can't see through it no matter what.
Isn't that the truth? You're right. It is a lot more open. We're learning the reasons for decisions they make rather than this is what we decided, what's the next item, let's move on to R8.
Exactly, and that's it. And I think that, you know, that's not the transparency thing, it's just open. That word transparency is like inclusiveness, equity, diversity. The word has lost true meaning because it's been so misused by the left. And
okay.
some people on the right.
We're going to a break. Listen after the break. Be here because I've got a clip coming up. You don't want to miss this clip.
Looking for a career? One that helps your friends, neighbors, and community? Good news. The Redding Rancheria Trinity Health Center is having a job fair Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the new health center in Weaverville. It's your chance to learn about our current career opportunities, meet with representatives from multiple Redding Rancheria departments, discuss employee benefits, and even get assistance submitting applications. The Redding Rancheria Trinity Health Center Job Fair, Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the new health center. Come and learn how to become part of our work family and make a difference in our community.
Red Bluff Roundup is on April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Supervisor Cry, we all remember your smugness when you brought to the Board of Supervisors last summer your personally negotiated contract with Redding Rancheria.
Supervisor Garmin brought it forward, and it's not on the agenda. It's not on.
It's R12.
This is closed session.
Right. This is R12.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So, just out of curiosity, as you're reading R12, there's nothing in there mentioned about the rancheria.
It says anticipated litigation. I'm just making an assumption.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. So, over county services that would be provided to the proposed new casino. Despite the protests of our sheriff, county fire chief, our district attorney, your risk manager, and without the endorsement of your county council.
You know, I have to stop you because I don't even know, as closed session, what these items are. So if you're speaking to this and you know, I would like to know if you do know.
I don't know. There's been a press release on a proposed litigation.
There was a civil complaint. So I'm going to ask you to stick to generalities because that's a civil complaint. And I'm more disturbed wondering if you know something that's on closed session before this sitting board.
I read what everybody in the building knows.
I'm sure.
Everybody in the building saw the same
I'm
stuff
sure.
that you're
okay.
talking
Go ahead.
About.
Continue.
Okay. I thought I was allowed to speak.
You are.
Okay, without interruption.
Go ahead. 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
I'll give you an extra minute back.
Okay. So through the protest of the sheriff, county fire chief, your district attorney, our district attorney, your risk manager, and without the endorsement of your county council, you pushed what may prove to be one of the costliest contracts ever negotiated by Shasta County government. What has finally come to light that you're aware of, you've seen it, we've all seen it, is that your agreement is that it grossly undervalued the actual cost of these services over the 30-year life of the contract. and as was published publicly, resulting in an estimated cost to local taxpayers that may exceed $100 million. As was expressed at the time, your unilateral decision not only undermined the principles of open government, but also posed a significant financial burden on our local taxpayers. Mr. Cry, what you have not learned is how imperative it is that such agreements are thoroughly vetted and accurately reflect the true costs involved. You did not do this. Ignoring the valuable insights and expertise of the key officials who are directly responsible, thanks for listening.
So that's old Charlie Can't Count. He was the superintendent of schools for 31 years, and here's more proof that he can't count, because I dare say he would have stopped earlier than spending over $21,000 on the recount between him and his wife.
I don't even know where to pick up the stupidity of this guy. He obviously is probably on the left, because everything he just said is a patent lie, 100% patent lie. Tracy Edwards was on Carl Bott's show and was talking about this agreement that was pending. And she specifically, on archives, if the guy had been listening and pulled his head out of his dark spot, would have heard that she had been working with the county for more than 4 years, which predates Kevin, for the record. She included the sheriff, the general counsel, and everybody else in that process, and they all were aware of what was coming down the pike. And so when he sits there and says, Kevin, unilaterally, that's just an abject, blatant lie and misdirection from the liberals. And on top of all of that, this guy is so dumb, because we have been providing this service for since the day the casino opened, and we've received zero reimbursement. Zero. So his idea and the liberals' idea is that we continue to receive zero reimbursement. And Tracy even said on the show, Tracy Edwards, the CEO of the casino, that I think at year three, it has a clause in it that specifically says they can go back and revise the numbers to reflect the true cost of the thing. So this guy coming up with another, you know, it's like the election. They kept saying it was going to cost millions, and they never, yeah, it wasn't, you know.
Charlie Can't Count was one of those that it was going to cost millions. And you know what else Tracy said is that they have to go back and renegotiate, yeah, if it's not sufficient.
Exactly. And so we went from zero for decades to getting at least millions of dollars, and now we're being told that that's not a good trace. I mean, you can't make that up. And getting back to the election, though, Nick, let's pull that back for a second. Now that we've had this election, now that there's been a hand count, I know Kathy Darlin Allen is not honest enough. She has no integrity. She won't release what this thing cost. I want to see how much this election actually cost, because their side kept saying it's going to cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I believe Kathy, in her own words, said that projected cost could be as high as $1.6 million, as high as.
That was if we went to hand count,
yeah,
for our elections, and she had to have like 1,300 people counting, yeah, and, you know, the civic auditorium and maybe the veterans all in a couple school auditoriums, because we don't have enough room. And then she was going to have to have bus service from all the old folks home to get the counters to the counting stations.
Yeah. No, I just wonder how we had 200 plus years of hand counting same day results has turned in the span of a decade to millions of dollars of a corrupted electronic system. Why can't we just go back to what worked for over 200 years? Are there the chances for, election fraud? Probably, but very minimal, unless you're in like Chicago with the mafia, then it's probably more likely. So this guy, he's out in left field. I mean, literally, he's out in left field. None of what he said bears any truth at all. But he got to say it.
And he led our schools for 31 years.
That's why I say, when you think the high school seniors are going to be nonpartisan, I think that you're being generous.
I've got a list of here people that contributed to the recall. And it's amazing how many are over $8,000-$10,000. Sierra Pacific put in over $15,000. And there's some names here I never recognized that put in 9,500, 5,200. Jeff Gorder, he was right around 5,000, I believe. Here's one that I found interesting. Drive Commission, Washington, D.C., kicked in $3,500.
Oh, wait a minute. That's, they accused Kevin of having outside money come in, and you're saying it's the recall people had outside money? Is that what you're saying? You're a smart guy sometimes.
Levingston, and I don't know who that is. I think it was a gal, kicked in $9,500, and then I found here where they kicked in another $5,000.
Wow.
Dignity, S-I-E-U, I think that's the union, $7,000. And Mad Max, he looks like the old guy on Back to the Future, the professor.
Oh,
hair going bald, a couple balding spots there in the front. He got up there last meeting and said they spent over $300,000.
They should have given that to the homeless people.
Oh boy, isn't that the truth?
Well, I tell you what, they could have maybe done a lot of good with that, because they basically, what they did is they lit it on fire and they burned it. They wasted everybody's time, effort, and energy for $300,000. Congratulations.
That's just what they spent.
Oh, I know.
I don't know how much the county spent, but I'm sure it was plenty. And they could have bought 6 tiny homes for them homeless to stay in with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The price of housing these days at about $275 a square foot, that wouldn't have gone very far.
So anyway, I have been accused of, not child abuse, bad-mouthing a mother. And so we're going to go to the clips here, and there's 3 clips. One's you and I last week. So this gal Shannon, her little girl went up with Big D to the speaker's podium and addressed the Board of Supervisors. And some people didn't think it was such a good deal, and evidently some people thought it was just hunky-dory. Kevin, when Big D started getting out of hand, he excused himself. He didn't want to be witness to a little girl being exposed to that type of conversation towards the supervisor. So let's go with that first clip. She's going to accuse me of something, and then I've got a defense. So let's go.
But the reason I'm up here today is in regards to my daughter and last week. I came up here. My daughter came up here. You made some comments on your little recap of the meeting. And you said that she looked awkward and insecure. You also made comments towards me. Oh, children can't pick their parents. And implied that she's being abused. There were other comments from other people in the audience saying I abused her. There were days. My daughter has been coming here since November. On and off since November. No one even knew she was here until she came up here. She has looked over the agenda, and she gets the whole packet so she can see all the stuff afterwards. And she's had questions. And she's like, I want to go ask. And she'd be like, I want to go ask. I'm like, go up there. And she's like, I'm scared. And we're like, just go up there. And she goes, I'm scared. So the other day, Dolores came up here and was going to speak about something entirely different than how it got turned. And she came up here, and you walked off. And so that right there changed the whole course of what was said. So it at that time became somewhat inappropriate, so to speak, how it all turned out. But my daughter wanted to be up here. She asked to come up here because she wanted to see what it was like being in front of the judges. She calls you guys judges. I'm like, they're not judges, they're supervisors, but I could see where you would think that. So she had been wanting to come up here, but she was scared to get in front of you guys. So she asked if she could come up here. Because that subject wasn't going to be anything bad. I was like, yeah, it's all right. Go ahead. That way she could see what it felt like to be up here. And that whole course of events was because of you walking off, not because of any other reason. And that wasn't fair to her. And then now I'm being called a child abuser. That guy, Nick Garner, went online Sunday morning going off for an hour about me being a child abuser. Then you're going off about me being a child abuser.
I never said that. You
said children cannot choose their parents.
Okay.
You said that
hold
little
on.
Girl looked
Stop
very
the clock.
Insecure.
Stop the clock, please.
So let me prep this next clip. This next clip is off of our show from last week. This will tell you what I said about mommy there. But before she got up there, she was about 4 feet, 5 feet from me, standing waiting for her turn to speak. And I was sitting there, and she glared at me, just glared like, I hate you. And I just kind of looked back at her and didn't want to say anything. So anyway, I think that was very undeserved, that glare. and what she just said about me going off on her for about an hour. Well, here it comes. We're ready.
Talk about things behind closed doors. Do you think we don't know?
That's the wrong one.
You know, that's about enough for her.
The way we talk about people.
No, that's the right one. Keep going. That was it. Nick was cutting in right there.
That's about enough there. That's I call her Big D. I'm sure everybody knows who she is. You know, I met her about 5 years ago, and it was the same thing. It never stops. We were blessed with this four times at the meeting Tuesday. Four times she went up and spoke and yelled, and she used profanity the fourth time, three different times.
Huh?
But this time she had about a 10-year-old little girl up there standing next to her. And Kevin's all about kids, and
yeah.
he told me he couldn't sit there and watch this little kid more or less be abused like that. It's not acceptable to him, and it shouldn't be to anybody else. It compares, you know, I saw a video here a couple weeks ago, and there was this little white girl. She had a binky in her mouth, and she had a little tricycle. I don't think she couldn't even talk. And here's two black little girls that were maybe, you know, 6 months to a year older pushing her around.
Oh.
One of them took the binky out and threw it, and that poor little girl ran crying to get it. But somebody was there taping it.
Oh, jeez.
They're teaching these kids from a young age to hate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my point in bringing that up about the little black girls picking on the little white girl, they're being taught that behavior at a young age. And when they get older, when they get 15, who knows what's going to happen in high school? When a little white girl shows up at high school, they're taught to beat them up. They're taught to hate them, taught to dislike them. So when you have a little girl, go up there and stand next to somebody while she's chewing out the supervisors, all I've got to say about Shannon, Mom, is that I think you could have picked somebody a little bit different to have your little daughter go up there and learn how to address the supervisors.
Well, obviously, in typical liberal fashion, I was going to not say anything for another hour because she accused you of talking about that for an hour, and I think by my clock it was about 10 seconds. So you're 59 minutes and 50 seconds short of what she accused you of.
And I didn't mention her.
No. No. And so, you know, again,
this is how rumors get started.
Well, that's it. And words matter. And, you know, you didn't specifically say her. You just said the situation in which the little girl was put in, and then a Big D just started using, you know, bad words. You know, in an old civil society, first off, you didn't use bad words in public, number one. But number two, you definitely didn't expose the kids to it. So, you know, maybe it's because you're old and geriatric, but I agree with you. You know, when a kid's there, have somebody with class and is a good example for the kid to identify with. But the lady goes on and says, you know, that we talked about that, about her for an hour and called her a child abuser. That is, again, 100% liberal patent falsehood lie. You gave it about 10 seconds and you were done.
And the thing is, I didn't say anything derogatory about the mother. And actually, I like seeing parents bring their kids to these meetings.
For that.
And except for two people there, they could learn a lot. There's two people that go up there and bloviate, and one of them uses bad language, and the other one, well, I don't know what's wrong with him, but, geez, he just rants and rants, and he's got to talk about everything. And other than those two, the meeting would be just so smooth. But let's go ahead and listen to that third clip. It's Big D again, and this is the situation. The little girl chose to go up and stand next to her at this moment.
This young lady is here to see all the corruption. On closed session, corruption is a two-way street, and this is under the closed session litigation. I do believe that couple of you three, Patrick, Kevin, and Chris, you are not capable of making the right decisions under closed session. You continue to just make false allegations and continue to use your position to abuse the law. You're not capable. So when people talk about corruption, it's a two-way street, regardless what party. But when you lie and you sit there and talk about things, Kevin, I can't believe that you think that you're the smartest one
pause
to make litigation.
Pause your clock. I'm gonna step out
because you're going to finish your public comment. I cannot sit with a child right there.
Right.
And you do that.
Well, that's good. You know why? They need to know what you do. And you expect people to listen to you, and you have no respect.
Okay, clip that off. So you see who started it.
Well, yeah.
And it just got worse. I cut it off. It just got worse. She's screaming and yelling, and this happens 2 or 3 times every meeting.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a one-time thing, and I wish I hadn't sent my kid up with her. In fact, they sit together, and they're good buddies. So anyway, Shannon, I didn't say you're a bad mom. I don't think you're a bad mom. I think you use poor judgment on sending your little girl up there. She could come and stand next to me sometime. I'm quite level-headed, and I bring something to the board that they can do something about.
You have a suggestion solution, I guess.
Yes, and that's what you're. That's the reason you should go address the board, not about things in the past, anything you've hallucinated on or whatever.
Well, you know, the great thing about liberals is, if they don't agree with what, if you're not in their thing, they accuse you of just heinous acts against, you know, the environment, the people, the little, you know, bear seals, and the fact of the matter is. Their beliefs, their systems, everything they get up in the morning, they wake up, is false. And they're miserable people across the board because every politician they voted for, every policy they voted for, everything they wake up, I mean, it's they accuse us of exactly what they are doing. And that's what I've said on our show before, is the liberal, rules for radicals, because that's what they use. That's how they're so evil. They have their own book. Is you throw what you're doing at the fan, so the fan spreads it, and then you walk away and watch the disaster that the other side is now trying to undo, which has no basis in fact. And we've already exposed that on 2 things today. That guy and then that lady talking about we spent an hour on that thing. We didn't spend 10 seconds on it.
And Kevin never said she was a bad mother.
No. He just said he wasn't going to sit there and let her do that in front of the little girl. That's all he said.
He wasn't going to witness it.
Yeah. And be witness to this little girl being exposed to this.
Somewhere along the line, I think it was Kevin said, well, you can't pick your parents. And you're wrong about that, Kevin. You need to read the book, if the title of it is The Boy Who Knew Too Much, from the moment he was born until he was about 6 years old, he told his mom that he was Lou Gehrig in his past life. And you talk about a wonderful book. You should get that book and read it. It's a quick read. And this little boy, in fact, when he was 4 years old, he threw out an opening pitch for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And his mom said something to the effect that, I'm just so fortunate that I'm your mom. And he says, I picked you. And he claims he picked his parents.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, the main thing I wanted to say is everybody should read that book. It is so interesting. And it's not unusual for kids to remember their past lives. It's a subject that never comes up. But this book will convince you that this kid was Lou Gehrig in his past life. And he's 16 years old right now. As we speak, this kid exists.
Oh, wow.
And he's playing baseball down in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, is as a young kid, I never met my grandfather. He died 3 years before I was born. So there's no physical way I could have ever met, seen, been influenced by. And yet, after I was born, my mom's family would constantly say that I was Bud, reincarnated. And I had no idea what it was. And then a quick little side story to that is a couple years down the road when I was about 5 years old, I told my mom I went fishing with Grandpa. And she's like, fishing with Grandpa? Because she's thinking he's been dead for 3 years before I was born. And she goes, well, what did you do? And I said, well, we went fishing and we caught a lot of fish off the pier. And she goes, okay, what was Grandpa wearing? And I said, well, he's wearing like, you know, cross shirt and jeans. And she goes, okay. And did you catch a lot of fish? Did you? I said, yes, I did. And so anyways, long story short, the day he died, he went fishing in those clothes, and he caught a lot of fish on the pier down in Santa Monica.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And my mom was like, I became a hero in their family because they thought I genuinely was reincarnated as Grandpa.
You know, I will say this. If, in fact, before we're born, we pick our parents, I'll bet there's quite a few people that would like to go back and repick.
Do a do-over. I'm sure of that. You know, Nick, there's just so much stuff that's going on these days, and now that we've got the election out of the way, we get to focus on what's going on in the world, and so you and I have had talked about what is green energy and solar and stuff, so maybe in some future shows we'll start talking about that, because that's one of the largest scams that are on the planet right now is this whole green energy, the electric cars. I wish the city of Reading would stop giving rebates for electric vehicles, bikes, and solar systems. I can go into that in more detail, but I just think that that's something we might want to talk about in the future because people are spending a lot of money for a complete scam.
I printed it out. I don't have it here. They just okayed a battery facility down by Alpine, down by Los Angeles, that is going to store enough energy to service, I think it was 64,000 houses for 4 hours. Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, we could do a whole show on that. But believe me, I've done my research. It is 100% a scam, all of it. If it was really self-sustaining and viable and green, it would pay for itself and not need to be subsidized by tax rebates and everything else. And solar has to be rebated. Battery packs for the solar have to be rebated. Electric vehicles have to be rebated. These electric bikes have to be rebated. If they were genuinely self-sustaining and worth a darn, we would not be taking money out of other people's pockets. So people who can afford those things, who don't need the rebates, are getting the rebates. And so we could talk about that in some future show because there's a lot of stuff happening in that realm that I see happening here locally that hopefully we can get ahead of it because it's a road to dead end. It's a road to ruin.
You know what? So what's really troubling that's not being addressed is the cartels in Mexico. I read a little article where the Border Patrol had given up a mountain inside the United States to the cartels.
Really?
Yes.
Well, before we go, there's one thing you and I want to talk about, and we'll bring it up next time, so we'll be better prepared. But I want to talk with you about that Klamath Basin stuff. You sent those videos.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So next time, let's make a note to talk about the Klamath stuff, because what's going on up there is an abject.
It's a catastrophe created by
Charlie
Manure's students.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny as Chris Kellstrom and I are working on something that if it comes to fruition will be really cool. But he went to a dinner somewhere, some state sponsored dinner, whatever. And the guy who was the entire epicenter of the spotted owl thing got up on stage and apparently said, yep, sorry, I was wrong. Sorry about that.
Oh, well, that makes everything okay.
That makes everything all right.
Everything's good now.
That's what they're going to find out about the Klamath Basin is these idiots have unleashed absolute holy hell into that river, and we'll talk about it the next time because I think we're out of time in a minute or two. But that evidence that you've got coming is pretty damning what removing those dams has done downstream to the Coho. It's crazy. Yeah, you're speechless, Nick. I got you speechless.
They made a bigger problem by trying to cure the problem they created.
Yeah, they created an ecological disaster, and all of the people up there are going to pay severely through loss in property values, agricultural. You know, this is the total agenda 2030 WEF. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy about it.
Well, I'm convinced that this is the same thing, in a sense, as is happening to our forests. I'm convinced they're burning our forests, thinking that in 200 years, they were visionaries, that we have a natural forest grown up now.
Yeah, like we don't have one now.
Well, actually, because of the practices, and actually the loggers were to blame, and then the foresters got involved, and it got worse. Our forests aren't natural now. They're brush patches.
Yeah. Well, no, we had those three fire captains in here, the retired guys, and they talked about it. And they, you know, one of them who had worked for the federal government had said that, you know, back in the 80s, the U.S. Forest Service was the only positive cash flow producing entity in the entire government. It actually produced revenue because it sold it, and our forests were well managed, and there was no fire hazard per se. And the greenies got a hold of that, and I'm going to say, i.e. the liberals got a hold of that, and they've turned it into we're in a tinderbox where you can't even get homeowners insurance anymore.
So good let's job. Burn it down and get rid of the tinderbox.
Yeah, let's burn it down so that nobody has any place to live and make it just one deadscape out there.
Yes.
So when we come back, next or two weeks from now, we've got to talk about the Klamath Basin. We can talk about the solar. And I'm sure there's going to be stuff in between we can bring up.
And I'll have a clip on one of the recall people for you to start off the second half.
Hey, have a great day. It's going to be rainy out there. Thanks for listening.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.